Welcome to Crossroads, a podcast that explores the intersection of faith and Christian living. Crossroads is part of the media ministry at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. Get to know us by visiting us online at fapc.org.
Hi, I'm Jamie Staley, Director of Christian Education at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, and welcome to Crossroads Podcast. Today, I'm here with two of our senior leadership staff at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, Sean McAvoy, who is our Director of Communications and Development, and Christine Boyle, who is our Director of Outreach. And I asked them to join me today to have a conversation about Ignatian spirituality and to help guide us through the Ignatian Examine as a spiritual practice during this season of Lent. Both Sean and Christine are part of the Roman Catholic Church, and they bring a deep faith and personal familiarity with Ignatian spirituality. So thank you both for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I'm thrilled. So, Sean, let's go ahead and start off just with some background about Ignatian spirituality. For those who haven't heard or experienced anything about it, can you give us a brief description, maybe in just a few sentences, and then we'll go a little deeper?
Sure. So, St. Ignatius of Loyola was born in 1491 in kind of northeastern Spain, what we would consider to be Basque country today. And he had sort of a pseudo-military career where he was injured by a cannonball at the age of 30. And really, like, they thought he was going to die. So he'd recuperated in Loyola. That's where they took him for kind of rest and healing. Well, things got a little tight for a bit. He did make, you know, he was on the mend, which was a great relief to all involved, including, I imagine, Ignatius himself. And then while he was recuperating, he had two books available to him. One was The Life of Christ, and the other was Lives of the Saints, you know, the golden book, they call. He read these and was very inspired to change his ways. He had been very worldly before then, and then he became afterwards very spiritually directed and motivated. The Society of Jesus was founded years later in 1540, when Ignatius was approximately 49 years old. So there's always hope for everyone, which I love. His example is very inspiring for those of us in middle age. And Ignatian spirituality can probably best summed up in the Latin Order's motto, which is Ad Maiorem Te Gloriam, which translates to the greater glory of God. Right, so everything is going to be glorifying God, or should be towards the end of glorifying God. And that is one of their main pillars of their faith or their order, which is contemplation in action. You're a contemplative in action. So what that is you're finding God in all things, and you're working to discover the holy in everything that you encounter in the world. And so everything is always a greater holiness. Like, they believed primarily in mas, so Jesuits really loved the idea of mas, or more. Not more as in accumulating more wealth or more power, but more as in there is always more steps to take. There are always more things you can do. There is always a greater degree of towards God that you can achieve. The journey is never finished. It is really one of lifetime discernment and spiritual kind of progression. That's a huge part of Jesuit spirituality and formation, which I believe is one of the reasons why it is so popular and widespread around the world.
Huh. All right. Awesome. I always know that I can come to Sean with a question and he will give me all sorts of history about it, which I really appreciate. So what do you think is different about Ignatian spirituality compared to other ways of praying?
Ignatian spirituality is highly focused on discernment and kind of an interior understanding of the Spirit's call. Right? It is communication with God in true communication, right? You're going back and forth with the Almighty to try to determine what is the best course of action for you at any given moment. What they mean by that is what course of action will draw you closer to God? What is the godly thing to do? Ignatians strongly believe in that, and that the spiritual exercises particularly, which I know we're going to discuss a little bit later, but the overall attitude of it is there is a right path that God wants for you, and what is the best way to discern it and find it out? Like that, as opposed to simply exhorting God or imploring God or requesting from God, or, you know, just standing in silent mystical communion with God. There are a lot of mystics who are Jesuits, but it tends to be more of an interior process. And indeed, the spiritual exercises can be seen as a kind of guide to mysticism and encountering God, like the Jesuits always say, in all things, and including within yourself and within your own life. Like, what does God want you to do at any given moment? So it's not simply a one-way kind of monologue from the prayer to the deity. It is a dialogue whereupon you are really listening for the voice of the Spirit in your life and following the path that the Spirit opens to you.
So this has been around for a long time. I can't remember what year you said that Ignatius was around.
He was born in 1491. He died in 1556.
All right. So that was a long time ago.
Yes.
So this has been around for quite some time. What do you think about it has made it endure all the way to today?
Absolutely. So he wrote the first draft of the Spiritual Exercises when he was a young man, recuperating. So when he kind of started them, spiritual notes to himself, which is a habit he picked up and kept pretty much throughout his entire life. I think they've endured because they're holy, right? So that's my belief as a Roman Catholic, which is Jesuit education. So that's been drilled into me. But if you want to step outside from that, I think they've endured because they are so practical that it's easy to tell people, well, you have to pray more. But prayer is actually very hard, especially if you're unfounded in or you don't have particularly a rich theological background. One of the things that makes Ignatius such an inspiring figure is that he didn't have a theological background. When he was injured at the age of 30 and kind of set down this path, he didn't learn Latin until he was in his mid-30s. And then his Latin was never really good throughout his life, right? Which was the lingua franca, to put too fine a point on it, of religion in his era. So I think that they can take folks who are spiritually, who have never really encountered that, who are unformed is the wrong term, but nascent, I would say, spiritually nascent, and bring them along a path to great spiritual fulfillment and connection. And I think that is why they have endured, primarily among the Western world, because of Christendom, right? They are explicitly Christian in their imagery, language, and evocative proponents.
Yeah. And what would you say then, you know, it's been for so long, what do you think it offers folks today? We live in busy times, we have busy lives. What is this spirituality for people today?
Absolutely, I think that's great. I think that spirituality today often gets confounded into kind of what we would consider to be new agey sort of tradition, right? And those things seem both, they harken back to a vague past and they try to clarify things in an opaque present. This is the complete opposite of that. This has a definite historical period in time, and this has real benefits it can bring to folks today. And one of the reasons that it can do that is because it gives you a series of guided things to do. The steps are very clear. They're not easy. Right? They're not necessarily easy. The spiritual exercises can be rather challenging at times, but I think there's a real value to that challenge. And with everything busy happening today, you have a million different ways for an outside influence to engage you, right? You have your phone, you have your computer, you have your television, you have anything on the radio. There's a lot of different inputs that we have. This specifically shuts them all off and says, no, you only really need to consider the effects of your imagination, the invoking its power, and God, him, her, herself. Like you encounter with the divine, and you use it from your own interior experience to lead along that. Now, there are imaginative exercises in there. You're meant to imagine, for instance, the life of Christ and his suffering and passion quite vividly at times in the spiritual exercises. But all those are towards an end that really is only working with your own tools that you have and require a focus that, by necessity, shuts out exterior distraction. So you're only really listening for an interior thing. I think it is an antidote to those busyness, like those forces of busyness and those interrupting elements that we're all faced with. And I think it can really help you realign and recenter and reset along a path that brings you to greater fulfillment. It allows you to see those things for what they are and put them in the proper perspective.
So last question I have for you, which is a bit more of a personal question. What is it about the spirituality that intrigues you, fascinates you, that you enjoy?
Ah, that's great. Thank you. One of the Jesuit order's mottos, in addition to Meorum de Gloriam, is cura personalis, which is care for the whole person. And I love that because if you take that and you marry it with the idea of finding God in all things, things not being like inanimate objects, but elements within the world, which includes your fellow humans, right? That means you have an obligation to care for your fellow humans in a very Christ-like way, right? Like, what did Jesus do? He primarily cared for people. We see that time and again in the Gospels, and we see that example as being set inspiration time again in the life of Ignatius of Loyola and his adherence to the Society of Jesus. So with that, I think that exterior focus, some folks have said that it's too accomplished oriented and not interior enough, but there's a great interior component to that I love as well, that your inner Christianity, your inner faith is manifested in your outward action, right? And how you care for the whole person that you encounter. It's echoing St. Augustine, at all times preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. Right? That was very much an Ignatian like tenet that they've really held on to. And I also love its focus on meditation and personal discernment. You can't ignore yourself. This is not an abnegation of yourself, but trying to become the best person you can be in order to best serve your fellow humans and God. And that to me, I mean, gosh, I mean, they drill that into your head when you're a kid and you go to school there. So so one of the Jesuits went. So I went to Boston College, and one of the Jesuits at my orientation, my mother still brings this up, I think, with chagrin, said to the assembled parents and students there, and he said to the moms and dads, my job is to ruin your child for life. And, you know, they really did. Here we are. It's always to your benefit, and it's always to make you a better person and the best version of yourself so that you can then serve others. And I really love that. I love that it's not just a self-help course. There's a great deal of component of self-help within, especially the spiritual exercises. You will feel a lot better about yourself and have a better direction in your life once completing them. But I think that it also, one of the ways that it makes you a better person is that it encourages you to serve others as best you can with the gifts that you have been given.
All right. Thank you very much. As we move on to talking about the examine and allowing folks at home to be able to try out this practice during this Lenten season, I'd like to note that Sean is actually wearing a Boston College hat. So we know that his experience there was great.
Go Eagles.
All right. So Christine, we're going to move on to Christine at this point. I've asked Christine to kind of help lead us in the examine, but just to start out, why do you think the examine matters?
Oh, gosh.
I think the examine matters for a number of reasons, primarily, and this is one of the sayings of Ignatius, he who seeks to reform the world must start with himself, and I think that call to interiorism, if that's a word, is so important because when we are aware of what we're feeling and experiencing it and owning it from the I agency, we're much more able to be open to other people, be receptive to feedback, ideas, approaches, and ultimately, as Sean said, directed toward God's will. Also think it's really important that spirituality matters because ultimately it's unifying the desires, right? As Sean articulated, it's not only my desire, it's also God's desire with me. And when we're able to unify them, we're truly able to live out our vocation, which is God. And just looking around the world today, I think the world needs more God, more goodness, more holiness, and potentially more order to what we're called to do and how we're called to serve.
I think, you know, when I have initially just looked at the examine and kind of walked through it, sometimes it's easy to think that this is just thinking about your day. How do you see it differently than just a thinking about your day?
It's looking at the order of the day and that movement. As Sean said, like, we can get so involved in our day so quickly. You know, from the minute I wake up, I probably have 6 text messages. Got to do breakfast, mom, get my child dressed, think about, like, looking work appropriate, thinking about my commute, you know, all these things pulling on me from the get-go. And we're not even at 2 minutes into my day. And so, yes, it's thinking about our day, but I think it's going through that congruent movement with God and where God is, and that we don't just serve God on Sundays, which feels like the faith day, right? Oh, we got to go to church. We got to go to CCD. We got to blah, 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 blah. But God is with us every day and desires to be with us. And so where I see that deepening and extension is inviting God into that dance, into that holy dance and that holy work of every day.
I love that. So our podcast typically is a conversation between myself and others. But this month, we're going to try to invite folks at home to do this examine with us. And so, friends at home, this is going to look a little bit different. There will be a little bit of silence. So don't worry, your podcast has not paused, nor has it ended. So Christine is going to lead us in that and give us kind of an explanation of what that looks like. But just wanted to let folks know that it will look a little bit different for the next few minutes.
Look and feel, and that's okay too, right? And so generally the examine consists of 5 parts, and it is prayer. And the parts are becoming aware of God's presence, review of the day, and looking at that review with gratitude, invoking your emotions as you move through the day, seeing where you felt grace, where you felt frustration, where you could feel forgiveness, and focusing on an aspect of your day and praying with it. And again, bringing in that element of reconciliation for where we can do better and reorient ourselves towards God. And then ending the day, yes, with a forward-looking view for tomorrow, ending the day with gratitude, but in true Jesuit fashion, demanding the grace you want from God. And so leaving it on the table for God to help grow and inspire you for whatever will next come. And so at this point, you'll hear this kind of language. You'll hear these markers as we move through the examine. And I would just encourage you at this point to get into a position that is comfortable. It can be laying on the ground, it can be prayer posture, prayer pose, just sitting cross-legged with your hands on your lap, whatever is comfortable for you. And as you get into this position, I would invite you to close your eyes and be reminded that you are a child of God and you are in the presence of God. Dwell in the sanctuary of that relationship and that awareness. And as you move with God, remember that it is God who moves with you to be closer than your most inner self. We pause to breathe in, and we pause to breathe out, aware that God is very much alive, that God has blessed this day and blessed this time and holds us each closely. As we move forward, we look on with gratitude. Where has God blessed your day? In what? With whom? And how? We're reminded that all is gift and all is gratitude. Even the missed train this morning, coffee spill on our shirt, the difficult conversation we might need to have with a family member or colleague. God expands our heart so that we can find God in all things, in all intimacies. For we are with the God who has formed us and knew us in our womb, and desires that same intimacy as we give gratitude and hope and reflect on our day. So move through your day holding all of this. As you think about the movement of each hour, of each encounter, where did you find God? What did God invite you into? How has God been part of your decision making? How has God been part of your quiet? And how has God been part of your action and advocacy? Where does God call you to reframe, to look at that hard conversation, to look at that reaction, to look at the words chosen, to look at the brokenness and the fractures of the day? Where can God lead you to say, I can do better, not for myself, but for the people I care for those that value me and I value, for those whom I hold, for those whom I steward with grace? Where can we repair these relationships? And if there's one that stands out in this particular that is causing you tension in your shoulders, pain in your neck, pay attention to those emotions. God speaks through those emotions. God is saying it's not right. We can do better in those emotions. So just offer that to the Lord. And offer the lightness of each day, where you felt your body maybe being silly or happy or joyful or moving with a gentleness. That too is God. And offer that in gratitude. And as we close this examine, take that gratitude with you and ask something so bold of God. Ask for grace, however you need it. Maybe it's in the way to handle conversation better, to be more patient, to be more loving, to be more adaptable. But demand that grace. And ask God to be part of that growth for tomorrow. And as we conclude this time, we go with God's blessing. We go inspired by the Lord and inspired our faith. Amen.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Christine. That was lovely.
It was wonderful. Yeah.
I wonder, and both of you can answer this question. What, why this practice is powerful as a one time, you know, but you know, both of you having grown up and been to school, how is this a powerful practice to do on a regular basis, or what? Why do you think it's so powerful to make this a regular part of life?
I think it's like breakfast. It's got to be your fuel.
Absolutely.
And so that's why it's powerful. It's simple and accessible, right? God wants our ugly. Yeah. God also wants our greatness. And this is a really open access channel to God. And as we've said earlier, the goal is unifying desires and ultimately increasing our vocation to God, which is God. And so I think it's powerful for those reasons. It's, as I said, accessible and easy to do. I will say this, on the bus, I've already been through like hot mess of getting my daughter to school, you know, wardrobe malfunctions, everything in between. And like, I just do it on the bus. I'm like, where could I have done better? Where was God in the first, whatever, 45 minutes to my hour of my day? And when I recognize those emotions that were accompanying actions, I can redirect, self-direct, self-medicate in the sense of like meditation. Oh my goodness, sorry. I have a head cold, everybody. Not at my best. But like, that's what I can do. Yeah, I can put those tools back in my arsenal and say that my day has not defeated me. That's not God's desire. God's desire is that I live this authenticity in good relationship.
Awesome. Sean, what do you think? It's the same question, but also, you know, what do you think how do you think this will change folks if they start to do this on a regular basis?
I think that it's very life-changing in all the ways that Christine beautifully just expressed, and especially in the phrase that God wants you ugly. We often think of God as being sort of this eternal judger who we have to put on our best suit for, right? And we have to prepare the best version of ourselves. God loves all of you, right? God loves it, the bad part, the good part, you know, the worst part that you hide from everyone that you don't dare speak aloud, and the best part of you that, you know, you wish someone recognized. God loves every aspect of you. God also wants you to do better. I think that that's a core element of this. And then in how do you do better? Like, how do you discern that? You don't just simply flagellate yourself and say, oh, I'm so sinful and I'm bad and I shouldn't do better. That is a despair, and despair is both a sin and kind of a luxury, right? So we can't be having that. Like, so Ignatius doesn't want that for you. Neither do the Jesuits. They want you to like to step up and say, like, okay, I messed up. They're not expecting perfection. St. Ignatius wasn't really interested in holy people in terms of like holy qua holy. He wanted folks who were always just kind of like willing to walk down the road of improvement. So recognizing that and saying, like, where could I have done better? Being honest with yourself, because that means being honest with God. And God sees you for who you are. So don't hide any of that, because he loves all of that. And know that that's going to be accepted in an atmosphere, in an environment of love. And use that as the next step to becoming a better version of yourself the next day. I think that can only improve. That improves relationship. That improves self-image. That improves activity. That improves rest. That improves kind of everything. And that, to me, is one of the great gifts of the Western tradition that we have.
Hmm. Awesome. You know, last question related to this. Folks at home, examine, I hope that you were able to join us this last few minutes to do that. If not, I'd invite you to, when you get to a space that you're able to sit quietly and be in a place, not the car, be in a place that you're able to do this, I invite you to listen to this, that part of the podcast again, rewind. You can listen to Christine's voice every day this week and just experience this, examine. But I know you can also find versions that will help you online. Do either of you have any book recommendations or anywhere, if folks are wanting to learn more about Ignatian spirituality, that you would recommend?
Oh, goodness. My colleague just pointed to me and took the easy way out.
I have 20 book recommendations, but Christine is much more spiritually grounded and wonderful person than I am, so I'm going to hold the floor to her for right now.
Practically speaking, you can find a great wealth of resources on Jesuits.org, LoyolaPress.com, The Spiritual Exercises of St. Ignatius, and The Ignatian Adventure. Those are all searchable on Google. You won't be surprised with what comes up. Yeah. Jim Martin is a Jesuit, and I think it's Praying in All Seasons. And he just has a very beautiful and simple way of inviting us into the season of God, whether it is a liturgical season in the everyday, in the experience of loss, or in the joy of the moment. And I would just recommend that. I think there's an examine in there as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Christine. So a couple of kind of other sources. Boston College, my own beloved alma mater.
Surprise, surprise.
Class of 2005. Go Eagles. Boston College has a wonderful, if you Google Jesuit spirituality or Ignatian spirituality, they will pop up, because they have a free PDF on their website called like a Guide to Jesuit Spirituality. Okay. So that's a free and wonderful resource that is open on my desktop right now. It was instrumental in preparing me for this podcast. The Classics of Western Spirituality series has Ignatius of Loyola as one of their kind of main volumes. That's a very good volume. It can be a little expensive. It's about $30. So if you want a more condensed version, Penguin Classics has Ignatius of Loyola that I think on Amazon is for like $20, which is very valuable for things that you can't really get outside of the internet, the great sources that Christine just cited. Jim Martin's phenomenal, and there are a lot of wonderful Jesuit authors who will imbue the spirituality in their writings. There's also, for a general history of the Jesuits, I have it right here, The Jesuits, A History by Marcus Friedrich. It's a tome, and if you're ever saying to yourself, I would love to spend a summer or an autumn or something, you know, reading 700 plus pages of Jesuit history, it would not be a season wasted, and you would learn an enormous amount about both the order and its theological motivations.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for joining me for this. I really hope that folks at home are able to try out this practice if they've never done it before. Maybe they will be hearing Christine's voice all week long as they try to do this every day. I really do think that it can make a difference even in your own just mindset as you go through your day. So thank you both for joining me, and thank you folks at home.
Thank you for listening to Crossroads. Our managing editor is Jamie Staley, and our editors are Vashina Brisbane and Emily Dombroff.